Okay, I go in Lag BaOmer to all. Today we have the schuz to learn on the yard side of Akshurim Bar Yochai, on the yard side of the Ramah, and it's a day of a schuz for Talmud Torah. So let us take part in the special air that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us today. Okay, we are up to, it says, there's about 8 lines up from the bottom. The first words on the line are Adas Abirim Be'egle Amim. Adas Abirim are the first words on the line on Kuf Yud Ches Amid Beis. We were in the middle of Darshani Psukim, how different nations were bringing presents to Mashiach, and the presents were accepted from Mitzrayim amazingly because they did a little Hachnas Zarchim before they started being Meshavidas, Kush, and then Romi, which was rejected. And we had 3 Pshatim, what the Pasuk means, Gar Chayas Kana meant, referring to Romi. So now we're continuing to Darshan that Pasuk. Adas Abirim Be'egle Amim, the congregation of Abirim, strong ones, in the Be'egle Amim, what does that mean? Sheshachtu Abirim Ka'agolam She'en Lehem Bailam. They shechted the Abirim, the strong ones, which meant the Jewish people, like calves without owners. Just like cows that didn't have any owners, they killed us. Misrapes Baratzi Kesef, what does that line mean? Sheposhtin Yad Lakabo Mamon Vein Osin Ritzon Bailam. Means they stretched out their hand to take money, to accept money to do something, and they didn't fulfill their promise to their masters. Pizer Amim Kravos Yachmetzun. So now the next part of the pasuk is referring to the Jews themselves. Pizer Amim scattered in the nations. Kravos Yachmetzun. They wanted closeness. Migaram Lahem LiYisrael Shi'is Pazul Bein Humosa Olam. What caused? Who caused the Jews to become scattered? Kravos Shahayu Chavetzin Bam. The closeness that the Jews wanted to the other nations. As we mentioned a number of times in the past, the quote of Rav Chaim Volozhin: if a Jew doesn't make Kiddush, a non-Jew makes Havdalah. That's why the more we want to be, right, we spoke about Rabbi Forrest quotes in his Sefer on Kashrus, that it's part of the nature of the world for the Jewish people to be an Orla Goyim, to be a separate, the Amla Batat Yishkon, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it that is always the case. And if the Jew doesn't make that true, so then the Umos HaOlam make that true. So that's exactly this line of the Gemara. The reason is the Kravos Shoyu Chafetzimman. Doesn't mean that we don't have anything to do with them. It doesn't mean that we're not nice. But it means that in terms of ideals, in terms of ultimate way of living one's life, we are separate. V'yod shalach lo, and this is also another item that Rabbi Shmuel sent to Rebbe in the name of his father, Rabbi Yossi. That's how this whole thing started. What? Tell me some things your father told you during your life. V'yod shalach lo. Gimel meos v'shisha v'chabisha shvakim v'kerach gadol shal Romi. There were 365 markets, shukim, in Romi. In each of the marketplaces there were 365 towers. And in every tower there were 365 steps. And on every step there was enough food to feed the entire world. Talks about the plentiful nature of Romi. It's a 365, so lechor, that does not have to be taken literally. As we mentioned, there are sometimes the Gemara quotes certain numbers that 300 something. So as we're going to have another 300 today. But sometimes the Gemara just quotes numbers which reflect a message, but they don't really mean to be taken literally. So what does 365 reflect? So if you think about it, there's one thing we know. What's 365? 365 years, days of the solar year. Right, so that's exactly, could be the point here, that's why they wanted to symbolize perfection, an entire unit, an entire complete area. So that's why they made all these 365, or at least the Gemara says it that way, to reflect to us that 365 is a complete unit. There's an interesting Rebbeinu Bachai. It's a good way to remember how long Chanoch lived. We know, ask our kid, Mr. Shalach, how long did Mr. Shalach live? We know. How long did Adam live? Okay, we know, because he gave years to David, and so we know how long did Chanoch live? Oh, he lived a short amount. How long did he live? So it's easy to remember. 365. Why did Chanoch live 365? So Rabbeinu Bachai on the Parsha says, Hayu kol yimei chayav shin sabachei shonim, keminyin yimos hacham, alo pachos velo yoser, ki atzadik hazeh yada, vihisig mahalach ha-shemesh v'kochosov, ho-atzumim, vihikir b'chachmaso, ki yeshiba elyona alakol. He achieved the level of perfection. He achieved the level of knowledge of knowing all the celestial spheres, 365. That's what Dafka, he lived 365 years, because that was, he reached perfection, and then he went up to be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As Chanuk, Vayishal Chanuk Im HaElokim, right, Ve'inenu, Kilok HaChosu HaElokim, as he remembered that he lived 365, because that was the complete, that was a complete unit. Okay. Says the Gemara, Amr Reb Shimon Barebi, Larebi, Va'amri Lei, Yehuda Reb Yosi, Hani Laman. Where's all that food going to go? Rome has so much food. Every step of the every mark of every tower of every market had enough food to feed the world. So where's all that going to go? Lecha ulechavrach ulechavrosach. You're going to get it, and your friends, and your friends' friends. In other words, the Talmidei Chachamim are eventually going to get all this food that Romi has. Shenemar, as the pasuk says in Yeshayo, Sachra ve'esnan hakodesh l'Hashem, the merchandise, its merchandise, ve'esnan and the esnan, the wages of the zona, kodesh l'Hashem, all their money will eventually become kodesh l'Hashem. Lo yeyatzer v'lo yechasein ki liyoshim l'fnei Hashem yeh. It won't be gathered in an otzar, in a storage house, or in a chosen, another type of storage house, because it'll be for the people who sit in front of Hashem. V'chulu. My lo yatzer, what is that referring to? Tani Rav Yosef, lo yatzer is a base otzar. That's referring to a base otzar, which has, Rashi says, the Rashbam, Dagan Tirosh V'yitzar. Means wine and oil and grapes. And grain. Yechasein is a different type of storage house, a base kaniza, which has gold and silver, says the Rashbam. Mikey, Eliyoshua, Lefnei Hashem, that they're going to get everything. It's all going to go to the people who sit in front of Hashem. Amr Blazar, Zehamakir Makom Chaveiro B'Yeshiva. Who are those that sit in front of Hashem? Those who recognize the Makom of their friend in the base medrash. What does that mean? So the Rashi explains that they're in the base medrash so much, they're a regular in the base medrash, they know where everybody sits. All right, it's not going to show you, you're a regular. If you're a regular, you know where everybody sits. Makir Makom Chaveiro B'Yeshiva. The Marsha here quotes that we know in Pirkei Avos, we know this is the time of the year, the 48 Dvarim, Shatara Niknes Bahem. At the end of Pirkei Avos, one of them is Hamakires Makomo. So how does Hamakires Makomo fit with Hamakires Makom Chaveiro B'Yeshiva? So first he suggests that Makir Makom Chaveiro is even more. Like you don't only know your own spot, you're in the base medrash so much that you even know your friend's spot, where everybody sits. But then he quotes the Pashtus, and that is of that Mishnah, and that is Makir Makomo, you realize your spiritual level. You realize you're standing, not the actual literal place where you sit. Says the Marsha, So that's the Marsha's second shot, that it means, in a figurative sense, that you know your place, where your position is in life. Another pshat is somebody who sits in front of Hashem. Those who are makabel the face of their friend in yeshiva. What does that mean? It means you get there first. You get there first, so you're makabel everybody. When you get to the shul, you get to the base medrash first, so that you greet everybody. So that's also a mile. That's what's being referred to in the pasuk of liyoshim lefnei Hashem. Continues the Gemara darshining that pasuk. Maila machase atik. After it says Yoshev Pnei Hashem in the pasuk, it says also it will go to those people who cover up the old. L'machasa atik. What is that referring to? Zeh machasa dvarim shekisa atik yomim. You cover up those things which the old one of days, capital O, the old one of days covered up, meaning that which Hashem covered up. U'mayninu sisrei Torah, referring to the secrets of the Torah. The Rashbam quotes here, Maisa Merkava and Maisa Bereishis. These are two areas of Torah which are not supposed to be discussed in public. The Mishnayos and Chagiga discuss when are you supposed to discuss Maisa Merkava, when and how, to who, only to a certain, to a Yachid who already understands it really without talking explicitly. So that's what is being referred to, that which, he who has the proper mentality in teaching Sisrei Torah, right? It's not supposed to, the Kabbalah is not supposed to be taught in public workshops in the middle of where anybody is able to come and learn from it. There's a certain hierarchy and process of what one learns. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, we first have to fill ourselves with lechem ubasar. That means shas. Right? After that, then we could have some yayin, we could have some other also tasty items. That's only after lechem ubasar. So that's here, somebody who covers up the parts of Torah that are supposed to be covered up, that is what's being referred to by Mechasa Atik Yom. Yikad the Amre, or Zeha Magala Dvarim Shekisa Atik Yom. Just the opposite. Somebody who reveals things that have been covered up. for many years. Umayninu Tame Torah. Somebody who reveals that which has been covered up. How do you get this from the Pasuk? But first we'll try to figure it out. How do you get this from Machasa Atik Yomin? To mean uncover. But that's the drasha. You uncover things that were have been covered, and that refers to Tame Torah. That refers to reasons. Tame HaMitzvos, as we would call Tame HaMitzvos. The Marsha notes that the Gemara Sanhedrin says that the Torah revealed certain Tame HaMitzvos, and the Gemara says it was not so, did not have such good repercussions. The Gemara says that the Torah revealed a few, and Shlomo HaMelech said, I don't have to worry about that reason. I can marry enough wives, I can have a lot of horses. So the Gemara says that's why the Torah didn't reveal more. So the Marsha says it must mean that the Torah cannot reveal more. But if we, as humans, try to delve into Tame HaMitzvos, not to ultimately think that this is the MS, but just to make it easier for us to do the mitzvah, to get us more inspired, that is for sure not a problem. He doesn't quote it, but that's exactly what the Sefer HaChinuch writes in his Hakdama. Sefer HaChinuch, who has a shorish to every mitzvah, he wrote the Sefer HaChinuch for children. For children who need, who want to learn on Shabbos afternoon, who want to have what to do. So he wrote the Shurashim of every mitzvah to give everybody a deeper appreciation. But he writes Beferish in the Kakdama that, I'm not saying this is the MS. This might not be the MS, and who am I to say that this is the MS? But if this inspires anybody, gives them a deeper appreciation of doing a mitzvah, so be it. That will be, that is the purpose of what I'm trying to do. Maninu Tameha Mitzvah. We had a couple of months ago, I mentioned the Beis HaLevi, who says, where does the Tame HaMitzvah come from? That word. Tam is a reason. But Tam is also taste. Something tastes better and tastes sweet to me if I understand it. That's a reason for it. And it also, Tame HaMitzvos. It makes the mitzvahs delicious. It makes the mitzvahs metuki midvash. That's where the Tame HaMitzvos come from. But of course, as we said, that's not the ultimate reason. If we don't understand the reason for a mitzvah, we still do the mitzvah ultimately because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us. Amar Rav Kahana Mishim Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. My dechsev lam natsayach mizbar lo David. What does it mean when it says in Tehillim lam natsayach mizbar lo David? And the Rashbam and Rashi point out it doesn't say lam natsayach. It has a mem in there. Lam minatsayach. Minatsayach is hifil. It's causative. It's minatsayach, one who causes somebody to win a war. Lam minatsayach. What does that mean? Zamru lamisha notzchin oso v'sameach. Referring to Hashem who lets himself be beaten. Misha notzchin oso, he lets other people beat him, bisameach, and he's still happy about it. What is that referring to? Bo re'ei, shlo k'midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu midas basar v'adam. Hashem is different than people. Basar v'adam menatzchin oso v'atzev. Basar v'adam, if he loses something, they're sad. If we lose a game, if we lose anything, we're sad. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu notzchin oso v'sameach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he gets beaten and he's happy. Shnemar, as the Pasuk says in Tehillim, we had this parak yesterday, we mentioned Tehillim Kufav, it's a whole synopsis of Jewish history. So continuing there, Vayomer Lahashbidam, Lulei Moshe Bechiro Amad Beperes Lefanav. Hashem said I was going to destroy them because of the Chet HaEgel, were it not for Moshe, my chosen one. So you see, he still has affection for Moshe, his chosen one, who stood in the Peretz in front of him, and Moshe Rabbeinu was able to kaviyachol kind of beat HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, no, don't destroy them. He convinced Hashem not to destroy Bnei Yisrael. So we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu still has love for Moshe Rabbeinu, even though he was beat. Amar Rav Kahana Mishum Rabbi Shalbar Rabbi Yossi, Amar Rav Shimon Ben Lakash Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Nesiyah, Mai Dechsiv. What does it mean in Perak Aleph of Yechezkel, in the story of the Maisim Merkava? Videi Adam Mitachas Kanfehem. Under their wings, the Maisim Merkava, again, we're not going to go into it, as we just said, because, you know, we can't do it in public, and Baruch Hashem on the web, this is even more public than we know, and that is the, but we could talk about it, Kipshuto. Perak Aleph of Sefer Yechezkel talks all about the vision that Yechezkel saw of the chariot of fire of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the malachim by every wing, and there are four malachim and double malachim. So there described is that there were human hands under their wings. Videi Adam Mitachas Kanfeim. So what does that mean? Yado Ksiv. When it says Videi, the Ksiv there says Yado, his hand, a singular hand. Zei Yado Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, referring to the hand of Hashem, Sheprusa Tachas Kanfei HaChayos, that it spread under the wings of the Chayos, certain types of angels, Kedei Lakabel Ba'alei Tshuva Mi'ad Midas Hadin. It's a special way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates so that Ba'alei Tshuva can come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not be held back by the prosecuting forces, by the Midas Hadin. Get there at Gemara and Sanhedrin to talk about this, that there's a Derech Hatur Lofnekise HaKavod. There are special places that HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates so that the Baalei Tshuva could come back. Al-Pi Kabbalah, they say, that's what it means, that the world was Nivra Behei, Behi Baram. Rashi quotes in Parshas Bereishis, because a hay has a hole at the bottom, has a hole on the side, a hay, so that you can get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu just from the side, but also at the bottom, leaving room for Baalei Tshuva to come up. There is a Rabbi Yonasan Ibishitz in the Aras Dvash who explains why a Baal Tshuva needs a separate road back to getting close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Aras Dvash explains, because really, as we mentioned a few days ago, that the ultimate Avodas Hashem, the ultimate way to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Besimcha. Ain, right? Ain, we had yesterday, Ain Shkina Shara, Lo Mitoch Atzlus, Lo Mitoch Atzlus. If somebody's sad, if somebody's depressed, we can't think straight, we can't get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So by definition, if somebody's doing tshuva, so we can't be fully besimcha. We have to feel bad. The Rambam's three ingredients to tshuva, charata, kabbalah la'avar, and charata ala asid, and vidui. So you can't be besimcha totally when you're doing tshuva. Ki al atzvah shora asidra acho makatrigim, ki besitra kedusho v'alchei amara murak besimcha. So that's why Kodesh Baruch Hu, because this Baal Tshuva is trying to come back, but he's sad, he has to build another highway. He has to make another way for the person to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why the Baal Tshuva needs this special way of getting in. Okay. Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Kol kesef hizav sheva olam, Yosef liktu ve'evilu mitzrayim. Yosef HaTzadik gathered all the riches in the entire world and brought it to Mitzrayim during those years of famine. Shneimar vayikol Yosef as kol hakesef hanimsa. Yosef gathered all the silver that was found. Ein liyelo shel eretz Mitzrayim. I only know the refers to the riches in Mitzrayim. V'shev eretz Kanan. And in eretz Kanan, which the brothers brought down and the other people brought down. B'shar ratzos minayin. How do I know the whole world's riches came to Mitzrayim? Tama lomar v'chol haaretz bo Mitzrayimah. Kol haaretz means all the lands. Ukshali Yisrael be Mitzrayim, he'elu imahen, and when Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim, they brought it with them. Shene Amar v'yinatlu was Mitzrayim, as it says, they emptied Mitzrayim. Two deus, which we had also at the beginning of Maseches Brachos. Ravasi Amar asua kimitsuda shein badagan. What does it mean? They emptied it. What's the mashal? They made it like a net which has no fish in it. Shein bad. I'm sorry, which has no grain in it. Grain is what was used as bait to catch animals. So it's as if like there's a net, there's an empty net. That's the first marshal. Reb Shimon Omer, kimitsula shein badagim. No, like a net in water to catch fish. So not that there was no bait, that was the first marshal, but that there was no catch, there was no fish in the net. Those are the two mashalim of the emptiness of Mitzrayim. Before we move on to know where else these riches went, the Ben Yehoyada notes, you know, what is the message of these two mashalim? Says the Ben Yehoyada, Mitzrayim was emptied in two different ways. Nearly v'siyata d'shmaya. D'lo pligi, there's no machlokas here. D'manda amar ki mitzula she'in badagim, the message of not having any fish, that's referring to the rechush hagashmi. There was no physical riches left in Mitzrayim. Shenisrokna min amamod, but Yisrael took everything. During Makas Choshef, they went to figure out where everything was. And then, they took all the riches from Mitzrayim. U'misha yavo elahan. If anybody would go to Mitzrayim, they wouldn't be able to be marviach anything. Don't invest anymore. Because there's nothing left. Just like fish. There's no fish in the net. There's no riches left. U'madamar ki mitzuta she'in badagan. What about the other mashal of wheat, of grain? That's referring to the rechush haruchni. There's no ruchnius left. In other words, shelo nishar ba nitzot kadosh shebiru hakol mimena. It's quoting a Kabbalistic idea, which is that whenever Bnei Yisrael go into galus, there are certain nitzotzos of kedusha, sparks of kedusha, which have to be mevurar, which have to be taken by the Jew in that galus. Once that's finished, then the Jew leaves. Then there's no other purpose. That's what the Or Gedalia writes in his Sefer on Shmini Atzeres. He writes that that's why we find so many times throughout history, the Jews are doing fine in a certain place, and all of a sudden, boom, the whole entire country turns on them and throws them out. They're doing fine. The Abarbanel was in the government, and then they threw him out. So what happened? What happened overnight? Okay, so you explain it based on history books. What's the answer, said the Or Gedalia? That all the Nitzotzos HaKadosha were taken out. Once the Nitzotzos HaKadosha were taken out, so then that's it. The job of a Jew in that galus was finished. They have to go to the next place, and the next place. So that's what the Ben Yehoyada here says. That's the second mashal. The Rechush HaGashmi and the Rechush HaRuchni was taken out. So therefore, it was empty. Then he even adds, that's also connected to the reason, there's a separate issur d'oraisa, again, the topic of a separate shiur, for a Jew to go back to Mitzrayim. Right, you're not allowed to go back once the Jews went out, those sashuv asham od. I forgot the exact words of the pasuk. So the big discussion, how could, we know a lot of Jews, the Rambam lived in Egypt for a little while. We know there are a lot of Jews that lived in Egypt, that traveled to Egypt. Alexandria, the Gemara says, has these huge communities with the flags and the shuls. What about the Issur d'oraisa of going back to Egypt? So there are different mafarshim explain different ways out of that problem. Okay, not for now. But anyway, that is what the Ben Yehoyada discusses here, that Mitzrayim was emptied in both ways. That's also just connected, and then we'll move on. The Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says on the pasuk in Parsha Shmos, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says Ra'o Ra'isi Es Ani Hashem of Mitzrayim, what's the double lashon of Ra'o Ra'isi? So he says, number one, Ra'o, I saw the physical Sheba that you were in, and I want to help you get the physical reward that you deserve. And Ra'isi, the second Ra'o, is I see that if you stay in there for another second, right, the Mepta Shari Tumma, another second, you'll be gone. You'll never be able to come out because there's no Ruchnius left in the town. So that's why I'm going to take you out because of that need as well. Again, the double lashon of Ra'o Ra'isi referring to the double Rechush that the Ben Yehoyada explains on our Gemara. So the Gemara says that Yosef has all these riches. Just one other point, and that is, by the Gemara says that that the Bizas Hayam was even greater than what the Bnei Yisrael took out of Bizas Mitzrayim. The riches and the spoils that washed up on the Yamsuf bank was even greater than what happened in Mitzrayim. So the first one discussed, I thought they didn't have anything left. I thought there wasn't any riches in Mitzrayim according to this Gemara. So how was there so many with silver and gold on the chariots? So they have to give certain answers to work out the different chazals. Maybe Paro's private storage houses had left, other reasons, but you got to work out those two chazals, how they work together. And the Gemara continues that the riches that Bnei Yisrael took to Eretz Yisrael with them stayed until Rechavam, Rechavam the son of Shlomo HaMelech. Then when Sheshach conquered, Sheshach, the king of Mitzrayim, took it from Rechavam. We had a couple days ago, this was one of the five, not a couple days ago, a couple weeks ago, see the Elphase item of Aves. Right, we had, this is one of the items that returned to its source. We had, just like the Jew returns to his source in Bavel, so too, these riches return to their source in Mitzrayim. Shemar, as the Pasuk says, later on in history, Zerach the king of Kush took it from Sheshach. The Rashi here explains this is not in the Psukim anywhere, but it's a Mesorah that Chazal had. But Asa, one of the Jewish kings, came and took it back from Zerach, Melech Kush. V'shigru l'Hadrimon ben Tevrimon, and he sent it. Here wasn't taken. He sent it to Hadrimon ben Tevrimon, who was a non-Jewish king, who Asa sent to, because Asa wanted him to help out fight the rest of the Jews. Right, at this time, the Jewish kingdom was split, Malchi Yisrael and Malchi Yehuda. There were a lot of number of wars between them and conflicts. So Asa, one of the kings, sent it to Hadrimon to try to get him on his side. But Bnei, the king of the children of Ammon, came and took it from him. But Yehoshaphat, again one of the malachim of the Jews, came and took it from Bnei Ammon. But Yemunach Achaz, and it was taken back by Achaz. But Sancherev, the king of Ashur, took it from Achaz. But Chizkiyahu and Sancherev, again this is talking about the treasuries. Chizkiyahu took it back from Sancherev. But Yemunach Tzidkiyahu, and then Tzidkiyahu took it back. Had it until he was exiled. Bo Kastiim, the Babylonians, the Kastim then came, but Atlumi said Kyo, and they took it. Bo Parsiim, the Persians came, but not Lumi Kastim. Bo Yavanim, but Atlumi Parsiim, the Greeks. Bo Romiim, the Romans, but Atlumi Arab Yanim, Vadayin, Munach, Baromi. And it's still sitting in Rome. Interesting that that's how the Gemara ends off, that the a lot of the riches that originated in Mitzrayim, which Bnei Yisrael took out of Mitzrayim, are sitting somewhere in Rome, says the Gemara. Two dots. Amar Bichama Barchanina. Shalos Badvarios hit Ben Yosef in Mitzrayim. There were three major treasuries that Yosef hid in Mitzrayim. Achas Eskala L'Korach, Achas Eskala. One of them was revealed and ultimately taken by Korach, and that's what led him astray, his riches. One of them went to Antoninus. So the Gemara a number of times says that Antoninus and Rebbe were two of the richest people in that generation. And one is kept for the tzaddikim lasalavo, which obviously means it wasn't just the physical riches. Osha Shamal Abalav L'Rasa, what is the Pasuk in Koheles referring to when it says the riches are guarded to a person for his bad, for his negatively? Osha Shal Korach was referring to Korach, that Korach's riches led him astray. The Pasuk in Dvarim, which says that not only did Korach fall into the hole, but all of his properties also slid down into the hole. The word yikum is from the word mekim, to cause to stand. This is referring to the money of the person, which helps him stand up, but if it's not used in the proper ways, so then riches could really, as we rise in Perkei Avos, that riches might take a person out of the world. Amr Blevi, Masui Shalosh Meos Prados Levanos Hayu Maftechos Beis Kenazav Shal Korach. The keys of the treasure houses of Korach were the load of 300 loads of white mules. Just the keys of the treasure houses. The Kulu, yeah?
Don't we always say that his downfall was because of Kavod?
His downfall was because of Kavod, but it could be the riches caused him to have the Ratzon for the Kavod, because he felt himself higher than Moshe Rabbeinu. Osher and Kavod are connected. Right? Like Osher is closer to the Kavod than the Kinna. Well, it could be connected to Kinna also. But Kina and Kavod are connected both to riches. And all these keys and also the locks of the keys were all made of leather. Okay. Getting back to Hallel discussion. So we're going to darshan out the whole last few phrases of Hallel. Who said that? Omar David. David HaMelech said that when Shmuel HaNavi came to anoint him and he was the little shepherd who was hiding out. He said, "Oh Hashem, thank you. I thought I was nothing. I thank you." Eben Masa Bonim Haisal Rosh Pina Amar Yisha. Yisha, his father, said, "Wow, the stone that everybody threw, Eben Masa Bonim, the stone that nobody was interested in. This son wasn't even here. You know, he was the Rosh Pina. He's going to be the savior." Meis Hashem Aisazos Amru Echav. His brother said, "Wow, it's none of us. It must be from HaKadosh Baruch Hu." Meis Hashem Aisazos. The youngest son, right? David HaMelech was the seventh son. Zeh Yom Masa Hashem Amar Shmuel. Shmuel and Avi then reacts, "Oh, this is a wonderful day. Zeh Yom Masa Hashem. Ana Hashem Moshiach na Amru Echav. Ana Hashem Aslicha na Amar David. Please make my road successful." Baruch Haba B'Shem Hashem Amar Yishai. When Shmuel and Avi came, Yishai said to him, "Baruch Haba B'Shem Hashem. Be'rach Lechem Beis Hashem Amar Shmuel." That's what Shmuel said back to him, that you should be blessed. Kel Hashem Vayo'er Lanu Amru Kulam. They all said, "Hashem, light us up, give us your light." That's in the plural lashon. Lanu, that's, you know, they all said it. Isru Chag Ba'avosim Amar Shmuel. Tie ropes, right, to the Chag. That Shmuel referring to bringing karbanas to the Isru Chag Ba'avosim Akarnas Mizbeach. It's referring to the Mizbeach. We should bring karbanas today. Keli Ata Vyodeka Amar David. Elokai Rameka Amar Kulam. So that's a reference to the whole conversation that took place when David HaMelech was appointed king. Tanan Hasam, the Mishnah says in Sukkah, also related to Hallel, Makim Shenagel Lichbo Yichbo. See? I said I'm going to get to the Amud Beis at a reasonable time today. Okay, Lichbo Yichbo, Lifshod Yifshod. The Minag, the Mishnah in Sukkah says, in a place where the Minag is to double the Psukim, which we do, Yichbo, you should double them, Lifshod Yifshod. Where the Minag is to say it straight, you can say it straight. Lavarech Acharav Yavarech. After, if the minhag is to say a bracha afterwards, yivarech, so then you should say a bracha after Hallel. Right, that's the bracha of Hallelucha that we spoke about yesterday. Hakol k'minhag ha-medina. Everyone should follow the minhag of the Medina. Amar Abaya, lo shonu elo la'achrav. The discussion of a bracha and a minhag, that's only referring to the bracha afterwards. Avo lefanav mitzvah levarech. But making a bracha before Hallel, there's a mitzvah to be mevarech. As we're about to say, you make a bracha before every mitzvah. We make a bracha before Hallel. But one should note that the Gemara here is talking about cases where we say Hallel as a mitzvah. We noted yesterday, or 2 days ago, there is a machlokas between the Bahag and the Rambam whether Hallel is one of the 613 mitzvahs. The Bahag might hold it's counted either because he counts mitzvahs d'Rabbanan, or the Ramban suggested that maybe the Bahag holds that Hallel is a mitzvah d'Oraisa, and he quoted a certain number of sources. But either way, whether it's a mitzvah d'Oraisa, like the Bahag, maybe, or a mitzvah d'Rabbanan, like the Rambam, you say brachas on mitzvahs. We say brachas on Megillah, and on Chanukah, and on Lakas Neiris. On all mitzvahs d'Rabbanan, we say brachas. If one looks in the Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchos Rosh Chodesh, one will see that the Shulchan Aruch says there's no bracha on the Hallel of Rosh Chodesh. So what, how does he read this Gemara? What's going on here? So that we've noted, the challah on Rosh Chodesh is different. That's a minhag. The reason we say challah on Rosh Chodesh is because of a minhag. That's not because of, based on various Gemara. That's not a din d'rabbanan or a din d'oraisa. So a bracha on a minhag, that's a separate discussion. That's a machlokas between the Rambam and Rabbeinu Tam. The Rambam says you don't make brachas on minhagim generally. There's only one, says the Rambam. There's one exception. And that is, what's the exception? Was the one time that the Rambam says you make a bracha on a minhag, because the Gemara says you make a bracha on this minhag, that is Yontif Sheni. Yontif Sheni is a minhag said to be a denu, says the Gemara, if you don't make a bracha on it, you can be mezalzel in the Yontif, that's why you have to make a bracha. So everybody agrees to that minhag that you make a bracha on. Rabbeinu Tam, who says you always make brachas on minhagim, says there's one minhag that's quoted in the Gemara that you don't make a bracha on. And everybody agrees to that. And that is banking Hoshanas on Hoshana Rabbah. But all the other cases in the middle, that's the machlokas. One example of that is halal on Rosh Chodesh. The Rambam says, quote in Shulchan Aruch, there is no bracha, and the Rabbeinu Tam and Tosfos quote that you do make a bracha on that minhag. There are different types of minhagim also. There are minhagim and there are minhagim, but that's not for now. But anyway, here we're talking about a case where you're saying halal b'toras din, not b'toras minhag, and therefore you would make a bracha. The Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, as Shmuel says, kol ha-mitzvos, mevarech aleihen over lasiyasan. All the mitzvahs, you make a bracha over lasiyasan. So we get to talk a little bit about this here. I was in Israel when we had this on the Zion earlier, Msachim. So I get to talk about over lasiyasan a little bit now. There is a Chasam Sofer that says, what's the lashon of kol ha-mitzvos? As if there are some mitzvahs that we wouldn't think you make a bracha. All mitzvahs, you make a bracha over lasiyasan. Says the Chasam Sofer that you might have thought that there are certain mitzvahs that aren't Kedusha oriented. They're not bringing you closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Some mitzvahs are meant to be mesalek something, like removing Avodah Zarah from Eretz Yisrael, or Bir Chametz, or even Bris Milah has an aspect of Chatichas HaArla. So one might have had a Havamina, says the Chasam Sofer, if something's more focused on the Sur Meirah, so then you know, a bracha wouldn't be appropriate. Because what's a bracha? Asher kedushanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu. We're being most of kedusha. So if that's the case, that would have been my havamina. Kamash malon, every mitzvah brings you closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu, no matter what the mitzvah is. And therefore, every mitzvah requires a birchas hamitzvah. Remember, all birchas hamitzvah d'rabbanan. But it's still, the nature of them have important implications. There is an important Rambam. We know that there are generally three categories of mitzvahs, maybe a fourth. But three general categories of mitzvahs. There's Birchas Shevach Vahodah, Bracha praise and thanks to Hashem, Bracha Birchas Hanehenin, Bracha on pleasure, and before I eat, before I drink, before I smell, and a Bracha Birchas HaMitzvah, Bracha before I do a mitzvah. That's the three categories. There might be a fourth category of tefillah. Rav Shachter says there's a fourth category of tefillah, which is a separate category. Let's talk about the three main categories. We know, as the Gemara says here, that by Birchas HaMitzvah, we need over lasiyasa. We always make the Bracha before the mitzvah. Why is it that we make the bracha before the mitzvah? Similar to Hana, we make the bracha before we get the pleasure. Masha Enkein, Shavach V'Hodah are reactions. Right, on the way to shul this morning, I saw lightning and I heard thunder. Right, so those are Shavach V'Hodah. Right, after something happens, after I go to the bathroom, I say an Asher Yatzar. After I eat, I bench. All those are Shavach V'Hodah. So that's done after the event. By mitzvahs and by Hana, it's done beforehand. Why? And it's not just a parallel. If you look in the Rambam links the two. The Rambam writes, and Rav Soloveitchik pointed this out, in Hilchas Brachas Aleph Gimel, says the Rambam, Ukeshem. Whenever you see the word Keshem in the Rambam, you know he's linking something. You didn't have to say that. Ukeshem shemevarchen al ha'ana, kach mevarchen al kol mitzvah u'mitzvah, v'acher kach yaseh usa. Just like you have over lasiyasad by hana, so too by berchas ha'mitzvah. And the question is why? Maha kesher, berchas hana, and berchas ha'mitzvah. So, step one is Rabbi Yosef Engel. Rabbi Yosef Engel in Lech HaTov suggests that what's the nature of the Birchas Hananin? We have this in Maseches Brachas. One word, Matir. Matir. The Gemara says in Brachas, everything belongs to Hashem. How am I allowed to partake in it? If I make a bracha, that's Matir, the Hana to me. Now I'm allowed to partake. This Hashem's food. Lashem Haaretz and Meloah. How is it Varas HaSalam Ne'adam? So Brachas Laman Hay says, why if I make the bracha, becomes mine. Matir. So, says the Lech HaTov, the same thing applies to Ruchnius. You need a matir for the Ruchnius. Not just for the Gashmi Hana, but for the Ruchnius Hana. That's why you have to make a bracha beforehand. To kabo de banana Hana Gashmis min olam hazeh b'lo bracha mo'al, v'ha bracha hi materas ha'ana, kein anen Hana Ruchnius, mikiyim ha-mitzvah, gam kein ha-matir shalah hu ach birchas ha-mitzvah. And that's what he quotes at Tosefta, which even says, Even the language of the Tosefta in Bracha says that. That's of Yosef Engel. But we might just go one step further and say, why should Hanoah Ruchnis need a matir? You know, Gashmis, I understand that needs a matir. Why should Hanoah Ruchnis need a matir? So Rav Soloveitchik suggested as follows. And that is, when we come to do a mitzvah, who are we to do a mitzvah and trying to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's kind of, we're trying to create a connection, the finite with the infinite. It's kind of, you know, we're going, trying to go what we should be doing. Who says we can go close to Hashem? Who says we should bring ourselves up? Who says we're allowed to bring ourselves up? It's kind of, who says it's appropriate for us to try to get close to the infinite? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's Shemei HaShemayim. No, there's no space for him in the world. We, human, tiny, little ants, are trying to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who are we to do that? Says the Rav, that's why we have a Berachas HaMitzvah. A Berachas HaMitzvah is matzir. A Berachas HaMitzvah creates the context of mitzaveh and mitzuveh. Once I recognize that asher kedishanu mitzvot v'tzivanu, that's the matzir, to allow me to do a mitzvah to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Without it, it would be assuming something that maybe I shouldn't be able to assume. Who am I to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? To try to get close to the infinite. I make a bracha, that's the matir. So it's not stam, as Malach Tov says, Rav Yosef Engel, that it's, you know, I need hana from a ruchani hana. But it's a little deeper than that. It's that, who am I to try to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It would be inappropriate for me to try to get close, but the Berachas HaMitzvah allows it to take place. Okay, that is all related, and that's the Rambam's Kishem. Kishem Shemavarchen al Hana, so to your Mavarech, I'll call Mitzvah U'Mitzvah. So that's related to Berachas HaMitzvah and Berachas HaNenen. So the Gemara says, over La'asiyasan. And the Gemara explains where the Lashon of over comes from. Why didn't the Gemara just say Kodem? We wouldn't need the next three lines of the Gemara. Just say Kodem Asiyasan. The Rishonim say that Kodem might have meant a few minutes before. Over is Mashba right before, the second before. It can't be too early. You're not allowed to be over to over. You have to make the Berachas HaMitzvah the second before the Mitzvah. So my Mashba, the high over Lishad Akdumehu, how do you know that the Lashon of over means beforehand? Amram Nachman by Yitzchak Tichsiv, as the Pasuk says, Vayaratz Achimatz Derech HaKikar Vayavar Es HaKushi. He went past right in front of the Kushi, which means that's the Lashon of over going beforehand. Abaya Amar Mehacha V'hu Avar Lifnehem. Right, this is the next pasuk by in Sefer Bereishis. It says V'hu Avar Lifnehem. He Yaakov went in front of them, right in front of them. Ikedar Mehacha A Thrib Shad V'Yavar Malkum Lifnehem V'Hashem Baroshem. A pasuk in Micha that he went in front of them. That's what you see. Over is Lashon going beforehand. There is a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ar Zarua. What happens if you didn't make a bracha before you did a mitzvah? Are you allowed to make a bracha after you did the mitzvah? During the mitzvah, we say you're still allowed to make a bracha. Let's say I'm wearing tefillin. I forgot for some reason to make a bracha on tefillin. As long as I'm still wearing tefillin, I'm still doing the mitzvah, so I can still make the bracha. That's betoch asiyasan. But what if, or I'm still wearing tzitzis, but what if I ate matzah and I forgot to say a bracha? And I finished the matzah, and I just finished the mitzvah. Am I allowed to make a bracha now? Says the Rambam, no, you finished. You can't make a bracha now, it's finished. Right, and if, especially if you say what we just said, if the nature of it is a matir, you can't have a matir after it's done. You did it already, so you blew the matir, but you can't do it. So the Ar Zarua has the shita that even after you're allowed to be chozer mevarech. That's known as the machlokas between the Rambam and the Ar Zarua. The Ar Zarua is quoted at the beginning of Seches Brachas in the Agos Hashri, but that is just a yediyah to know that machlokas Rishonim. What about la'achar asiyasan? You still have the chance to make the bracha. Okay, you might want to eat more matzah. Matzah might be different in that, so just eat more matzah. Right, but let's say you did afikoman already and you finished. But in a chanami, then if you could still do the mitzvah more, then that's not afterwards. It's not afterwards. Tanya, Rebbe Kofa Badvarim. The Brisa says that Rebbe doubled a few of the psukim of Hallel. Rebbe Elazar ben Pratia, Mosef Badvarim. Rebbe Elazar ben Pratia, he doubled even more psukim. My Mosef, what psukim did he add? Amar Abaya, Mosef Lichpo, Me'odcha Olamata. He doubled from Odcha Kianisani. He doubled all the way to the end, which is our Minna. Dorish Rebbe Avira. Zimna Amalei Mishpei Derav, Zimna Amalei Mishpei Derav Ami. My Dechsev, famous story coming up. My Dechsev, Ayigdal Hayal Ve'igamal. And Yitzchak became old and he was weaned. Also, the Kaddish Baruch Hu lasses sude la tzadikim biyom sheigmal chastu lazaro shel Yitzchak. The Kaddish Baruch Hu in the future is going to make a sude for the tzadikim on the day that he does chesed to the zera of Yitzchak. Right, referring to Am Yisrael. Why dafk is the zera of Yitzchak referred to? So I thought, and I found in a number of Sfarim, I was very happy that we have the Gemara in Shabbos. If you remember, right? Yisrael shaking his head, that Peites, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to all the Avos, right? So Avram Avinu, what should I do with my children? They sinned. Avram Avinu says, wipe them out. Yaakov, what should I do with my children? Yimachu HaKadosh Shemecha. He goes through all the different Avos. What should you do with Am Yisrael? Only Yitzchak stands up and says, I gave my life for them. You better save them. You have to save them. And Yitzchak tainas and complains and wagers with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Come on, how bad were they? A third of their life they were sleeping. You can't fault them for that. A third of their life they were doing their needs. I mean, how much did they do? You know, it's on me. It's on me, says Yitzchak. And he's the one that defends Klal Yisrael. So that's why, connected to that, that's why Dafka, they're called the Zara of Yitzchak. That on the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does good for them, so then everybody's going to have this big suit in the future. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to want to know who's going to bench. Who's going to bench? So Nosin Lola Avram Avinu Kosha Bracha. So they say, oh, Avram Avinu, the first Jew, you bench for us, please. I'm sorry, I can't bench. So yes, many Yishmael came out of me. So I'm not right to bench. Okay, Yitzchak, you bench. I had an Esav, I can't bench. Okay, Yaakov, you bench. I can't. Shenasasi shte achyos bechayehen. I married two sisters. Shasid the Torah lo osur alai, and the Torah was going to answer it in the future. So I have a pgam on me too. This relates. We don't have time, but maybe a little bit tomorrow. But the story of the issue of kiyum avos kol Torah kulash lo nitna. The Gemara in Yuma says that they did all the mitzvahs. So how could Yaakov marry two sisters? Right, so what do you mean? And this Gemara said that it was something bad. So no matter how good of an answer you give to how he was able to do it, so why does, you're going to have to say he was still upset that he did it, based on this Gemara. So there's a Ramban. Ramban writes in two places that maybe he only did all the mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael. In Chutz La'aretz, that's where he married two sisters, in Chutz La'aretz, and that's why he said, amazingly, another reason why Rachel had to die on the way back. Because he couldn't be married to two sisters in Eretz Yisrael. The Maharal is a big Maharal in Parshas Vayigash. It's the main source. And this issue in the Gur Aryeh, where he quotes a few of the reasons, but his main reason is that maybe there's a difference. They only did the assays. The assays are mitzvah Ava that brings you closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Losa assays, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't tell you not to do it yet. So there's no reason for you not to do it. So that's another reason that Maharal gives, Rav Chaim Yivalazhin says that maybe he saw this what he was supposed to do. It's an exception. But either way, there was still a pagam on him, so that's why he didn't want to bench. Amalola Moshe Tolabrech, Moshe Rabbeinu, so you bench. I can't bench. I did not get to go into Eretz Yisrael, and that's a stain on me. Not when I was alive, and not even my bones were taken in. Right? This is also a makar for being buried in Eretz Yisrael. That even Bismosi, he said. Even, meaning that's also a schus. So, okay, Yeshua ben Nun. Right, so you bench. I didn't have any sons. I didn't have a schus, somebody to carry on the tradition. As the Pasuk says, Yeshua ben Nun, the Pasuk says in Divrei Hayamim, Nun beno, Yeshua beno. And then it ends. No sons. He had daughters, but he didn't have sons. So why is he faulted for that? So it's not that. Good question. Why is he faulted? But maybe we'll get to that in a minute from the Marsha. Amar lo David Tolabrech. So finally, David HaMelech. David, please bench for us. Omer Lahan, Ani Bevarech. Okay, give me the cup. I'm going to bench Velina Olavarech, and it's for me, it's proper to bench. Shneamar Kos Yeshuos Esa Uvashem Hashem Ekra. So David HaMelech benches. So the a lot written on this. We'll just say two thoughts. The Marshan says, what are all these rejections for? But he says that in benching we have a number of ideas, which the Gemara Brachas tells us we have to say in benching. We have to mention Eretz Yisrael, we have to mention Bris Milah, we have to mention Malchus Beis David, we have to mention Binyan Yerushalayim, we have to mention all these. Right, because if you think about it, says the Marsha, David HaMelech could have also rejected, I didn't get to build the Beis HaMikdash. That wasn't a pagam, he didn't say that. He was Makadish the Ritzvah, okay, he bought the land, but why specifically were these problematic, these claims? So explains the Marsha that each one of them relates to another item in benching. Avram Avinu, if you have a child that goes Latar Bizra, you have an Esav, you have a Yishmael, or you don't even have a son, that's a lack in Baal Bris HaShechazanta Bivsarenu. Because Bris Mila symbolizes giving over the Mesorah to the next generation, and if somebody isn't perfect in that way, he doesn't have Mitaso Shlema, so that's a problem. What about, and Moshe Rabbeinu regarding Eretz Yisrael? He couldn't go into Eretz Yisrael, so that's why he had a lack of that mention. Yoshua ben Nun, we related to the son, the Yaakov Avinu, who married two sisters, so that's Viala, I don't remember what that one was. I have to look back, but he also mentions one of the lines in benching. find it afterwards. But he also mentioned that also relates to one of the lines of benching, that marrying two sisters was not did not fit into benching. But there is a thought I've seen before, but here they quoted from the Margalius Hashas. He quotes it from Rav Yehuda Rabinovich, the Talmud of the Gaon of Chibin. Says, what does it mean at the end of the line of Li Na Elavarich? David Amel says, okay, I'll take it. Give me the kos. So there is a charifus that I've heard before, but he quotes it here beautifully. And that is, we know David HaMelech, there was a controversy when he was first becoming king, whether he was allowed to become king or not. Why? Because his great-great-great-grandma was Rus, and Rus was from Moab. The Gemara says, the Torah says, Lo Yavo Amoni Moav Yibikal Hashem. So why did we say, the Gemara in Yevamos tells us, don't worry, David can come in. Why? Amon is Moav Yibikal Moav. It's only the men, not the women. Why? Why were the women allowed and not the men? Because, says the Gemara, the reason we're being punished, the men and the women. The men were being punished because they didn't come out Balechem of Amayin. The Pasuk says the Barjaki Seitse. They should have done chesed. They should have come out to the battlefield to bring us food. The women didn't have to come out. So that's why they're allowed in. Why didn't the women have to come out? Why? Because of Tznius. Kol Kavud Bas Melech Panima. Right, so women's house is supposed to be on the battlefield. She's supposed to be it's supposed to be at home. She's supposed to be not supposed to be out in public. Kol Kavud Bas Melech Panima. So Kol Kavud Bas Melech Panima is ultimately the reason why David HaMelech was allowed to come into the Am, because that's the reason for Amoni v'lo Amonis, Moavi v'lo Moavis, and that's why he was allowed to come in. Where's the source for Kol Kavud Bas Melech Panima? Where's the source for that? By Sarah. When the Malachim come, and the Gemara says they wanted to send her a Koshal Bracha, because they gave her a Besorah Tova, that she's going to have a son, what does Abram say? Hinei ba'ohel. Hinei ba'ohel? Hinei ba'ohel? What does Hinei ba'ohel mean? It means she's Sanua. She's in the tent. Kol Kavud Bas Melech Panima. So what caused Kol Kavud Bas Melech Panima to ultimately come to fruition, that Sibui? The Koshal Bracha. The Koshal Bracha that the Malachim sent, and that caused Avram to say Hinei Ba'ohel, which then came up with the idea of Kol Kavud Bas Melech Panima, which later on was the reason for David HaMelech being allowed to come into the nation. So the Koshal Bracha was the ultimate goreim for David HaMelech to becoming king. So when finally HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to David HaMelech, take the Koshal Bracha in order to bench, so says David HaMelech, Lina Levarich. Okay, I'll take it. Because this coast is the reason why I was allowed to become king in the first place. So that's the charif, as he put all of those together. That is why David HaMelech was zoche to take the coast. Yeah. Right, David HaMelech himself had some roots. David HaMelech also had Avshalom. Right, he also had some of his kids. So the question is, what about that? But there are other questions on this Gemara. But let's try to analyze it ourselves today. Okay, yeah, I'm sorry, what are you saying? Yosef, why aren't Yosef and Aaron offered? Okay, but David HaMelech takes it. You know, we skip some of the Ushbizin. Maybe depending on what order, you have. But okay, we'll stop here. The Tayshir was Echanish, Mazi Shalas, Ben Sion, Ben Yaakov, and Agutin. Okay, it's the yard side of the Ramas. Maybe we won't say Tachlin today.